my talk is going to be very simple, because simple people can do simple things only. But I don't think that it is a matter of complicated ideas, but it is a matter of asking the Holy Spirit to give us life and to allow us to enjoy, to taste some of the truths of our faith. And I want to talk about, I think, the main truth of our faith, that is the love of God. I'm going to talk about Jesus as the one who reveals to us the love of God the Father. This God that was hidden in his mystery and in his infinite mercy, he decided freely to reveal himself to us. And this is what I want to proclaim, to announce, as St. John said in his first letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, the light was made manifest, and we saw it, and we testify to it, and proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. In Jesus Christ, we can know God. Whoever sees me, sees the Father. And then, it is only, as I said, out of his infinite mercy. It's like an overflowing love of the Trinity, that is love himself. And God was not able in some way to keep that love for himself. That's why he created us. We were created out of love, and in order to be able to share his love. And this is a mystery that we really cannot understand. We have been given the opportunity, the possibility to share divine life. To share divine life. I mean the life that is inside the Trinity, the life that the Father shares with the Son in the love of the Holy Spirit, that life has been given to us. And this is our dignity, and this is our richness, and this is the mystery that we need to contemplate. Look, I preach this very often, but we sometimes want to be like tourists of the Spirit, and that is like nothing. We need time. That's why this retreat in silence and your commitment to daily time of prayer in silence and intimacy with the Lord are so important. We need time. We need time in order to understand all of these mysteries, because otherwise they are passing through our mind very fast. We see them and they are gone. We forget about them again. And then we have no foundation. Then we need to spend time in silence, in contemplation, with humility, asking God through the Holy Spirit to give us his life, his love, to allow us to taste how good is the Lord. Then this time that you are going to be with the Lord after my talk, I invite you to have this attitude of contemplation, realizing how good is the Lord with us, and how much we are loved by him. How much we are loved by him. It is sometimes hard for us to believe that, but it is the main truth of our faith. we are too used to think about justice. And then when we think in that way, we are convinced, because it is true, that we don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His love. But it is not a matter of deserving anything. It is a matter of true love. True love, gratuitous love. God loved us first. Before any merit, before anything, even with our sins, because He is faithful in His love for you and for me. He is faithful. And not even our sins can break that love. It is true that our sins can stop us receiving His love. But He is not going to stop loving us. And that's a mystery that we are not able to understand. In His message for Lent, the Holy Father was talking about justice. And he was examining that classical definition of justice. It's a different, I don't remember exactly the word, but St. Thomas Aquinas said, sum quicquid livet, and to give each one what is his, what corresponds to him. And the Holy Father said that in Christ, God was breaking that idea of justice. Justice in God is completely different. For God's justice was to take upon Himself our sins. He was not giving us what was ours, what we deserved. He was taking on Him, on His shoulders, on the cross. He was taking upon Himself what was ours, our sins. And He was giving us what is He, His divine life, eternal life. In Jesus Christ, we have, in some way, the door open to enter into the life of the Trinity, to share divine life. And all of this is not because of justice. Yes, it's a justice, the justice of God. The Vatican Council is using one expression about, when he speaks about Revelation, said that Jesus was teaching us and revealing Himself to us just his verbisque, it's a couple of words, and with just with actions and with words. That's why everything that in the Gospel, everything that Jesus said and did, He's showing us the Father, the face of the Father. He's showing us what St. John said in his Gospel. The Father Himself loves you. That's the main revelation. And in Christ we can reach the fullness, the plenitude of that revelation. We don't have to expect any other revelation. In Him, in Jesus, in His Word, in His life, His passion and cross, His resurrection, we have the fullness of revelation. We have known everything we need to know about the Lord. And we need to, as I said before, to spend time to immerse ourselves in that mystery, in that ocean of love that Jesus has presented to us. Is the mediator of all revelation. St. John 1:19. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it says too, Hebrews 1:1. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. We are loved
by God. We are loved by God. And we need to believe that. To believe that. And our lives would be a lot different if we believe that we are loved by the Lord. Because when we believe, in our life there is no fear. St. John in his first letter said too, wherever there is perfect love, there is no fear. And as Father Henry, Father Colum, both of them were sent yesterday and said today, many times when we go before the Lord, we are full of fear. We are really fearful. And sometimes we don't open our hearts. We stay in our poverty because we don't want to receive the richness of God. We are afraid of this God that is only love. God is love. The only thing He can do is to love you. Maybe that love will imply the cross, suffering, purification, but it is always in order that you can reach a greater love. A greater love. Because God wants all of us to share the plenitude of love that is sanctity. We are all called to sanctity. Each one of you, you are called to be a saint. That is the will of God, your sanctification, St. Paul. No one is excluded. No one. Later on you have to find your own way, your own path to sanctity, your own personal vocation. In that sense. But we all are called to plenitude of Christian life. Not to mediocrity. Not to live more or less a good Christian life. We are called to the plenitude of sanctity. Plenitude of love. And if we don't walk that path, we always stay half of the way. God reveals Himself in Christ. And the letter to the Hebrews said He was speaking to us through the prophet. And there we can see how the Lord presents Himself with the love of a father and with the love of a mother too. Can a mother forget about the child of her womb? Even if she can, I will never forget you. I will never forget you. And you have to believe that the Lord is telling you those words. I will never forget you. You are carved in the palms of my hands. In a scripture, God is talking about the expressions, the terms that they are using speak about the maternal organs. I don't know how to say this very well in English. Entraña, we would say in Spanish. And about that commotion that God experienced in His inside. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord." It is very nice how God is having, we can say, kind of internal battle in Himself. He loves us. And as the people of Israel, very often we forget about Him. We betray His love. We follow the idols too. My own will, my own desires, the idols of this world. My studies, to have a good position, to have a good reputation, sports, music, whatever. Many, many idols that are always stealing the glory that only belongs to God. Instead of giving your heart to God, instead of giving Him the first position in your life, you follow the idols. We follow the idols. And then that is creating a kind of suffering in the heart of God. The suffering that is created in Him by His justice and His mercy. You know that Pope Benedict, when he wrote the encyclical letter, God is Love, Deus Caritas Est, he was speaking about this, about that internal battle in the heart of God, His justice against His mercy. And the Pope said, I'm going to read it here, how in Christ, in some way, God's passionate love for His people, for humanity, is at the same time a forgiving love. It is so great that it turns God against Himself, His love against His justice. That's number 10. And number 12, talking about Jesus, said His death on the cross is the culmination of that turning of God against Himself, in which He gives Himself in order to raise man up and save him. This is love in its most radical form. By contemplating the pure side of Christ, we can understand the starting point of this encyclical letter. God is love. It is there that this truth can be contemplated. I was talking to you about this need of contemplation. Contemplation. Just to remain with your gaze fixed on the side, the pierced side of Christ. And I was explaining how Jesus is like the plenitude of that revelation. When God reveals Himself in Christ. And I think there are few particular moments that you can choose one of them to contemplate that. I would offer you three of them briefly, very briefly. I think the first one could be Jesus in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus. When for the first time Our Blessed Mother was able to see the face of God on earth. The Holy Father 2 years ago in his homily for Christmas, he was using the words of a medieval theologian, William of Saint Pierre. And this theologian was explaining how since the beginning of the world, God realized that man was afraid of Him because of His greatness and His splendor. And then He was choosing to become a child. And then this theologian was placing in the mouth of Jesus. God was telling us to Jesus, the baby Jesus, now you cannot be afraid of me. Now you can only love me. Then I think that can be one of the places where you can contemplate the love of God manifested in Christ. Jesus born in Bethlehem in poverty, meekness. You cannot be afraid of me. Now you can only love me. The second place would be the Eucharist too. And we are about to present before your eyes in the Blessed Sacrament, where God again is like hiding himself. This all-powerful God is presenting himself under the humble appearance of a piece of bread, so that nobody can be afraid of God. In his love, he accepted to be there in the tabernacle, in silence, forgotten many times, always ready to accept our prayers. The Eucharist is the manifestation of the love of God, of the humility of God. And the third place would be the cross of Jesus Christ. As the Holy Father said, to contemplate the open side of Christ. To become humble, small, little ones, in order that we can be able to enter to that wound, into the mystery of his heart. To contemplate the Son of God crucified, where God was finishing that battle, and his justice against his mercy. He wanted to solve forever that battle. And in Christ, God has given us the proof of his love. God so much loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son for you, for your sins, for my sins. Then how can we doubt about the love of God, contemplating his cross, contemplating the Eucharist, contemplating his mercy? He has forgiven us so many times. He's always ready to forgive. Come to me, because I am merciful. Come to me, even if your sins are red, they will be white as wool. There is a story, and this is going to be my last words. A priest was traveling in Spain, in a train. And before him was sitting a young man, around 30 years old. And the two of them were alone there, and the priest was observing this man. He was kind of nervous, moving his hands, looking through the window constantly. And the priest was asking him, "Can I ask you what's happening? I see that you are a little bit like restless." And then the boy, or the man, opened his heart and was explaining the priest what was the story of his life, how he had a wonderful family, loving parents, and when he was like 16, he left his home. He was living a terrible life, very far from God, and he was not even calling his parents. He wanted to know nothing about them. The contact was completely broken for many, many, many years. And then when he was completely burned out, he was calling his parents, but they were not at home. And then he decided to send them a letter. And in the letter, he was asking for forgiveness, explaining that he was repentant, but he was also doubting
that they would like to receive him again at home. And then he told them, you know, as you know, the train is passing very close to our garden, and there is an apple tree in our garden. If you allow me to go back home, just you can tie the white ribbon on the apple tree. If I see a white ribbon, I will stop. If not, I will continue my trip in the train and will never come back home. And then the man was explaining the brief, we are about to reach to my garden and I am all nervous because I don't know what's going to happen. And then the man was asking the priest to look for him, to look at that tree, because he didn't have the courage to look himself. And when they were passing by the garden, the priest was looking at the tree and told the man, open your eyes, look. And when he was looking, he saw not only one white ribbon, he saw that the whole tree was full of white ribbons in every branch. I think that's an example, an image of what the mercy of God is for us. How he's always ready to accept us, to receive us, and how important it is for us to understand that truth. We are loved by God. We are loved by God. And not even our sins can break our love. This has to be the foundation of all our Christian lives. And everything else is like an answer to this love. I don't think that any of the saints of the Catholic Church were moved by fear, even fear of hell, even fear of condemnation. They were just moved by love. Because it is only love that can give us the strength and generosity to live our Christian lives. And I think when some Catholics are not living in a life of sanctity, I mean trying to be holy, really, trying to strive for holiness, it's because they don't understand that they are loved by God. That is the only reason. They still have an idea of Christian life as something legalistic sometimes, something that has to be with that justice, or sometimes even worse, with the mentality of minimum. What is the minimum that I have to do to be a Catholic? What is the minimum that I have to do to please you, Lord? I cannot understand in a human relationship, a boy and a girl loving each other, that the boy can say to the girl, what is the minimum time that I have to spend with you in order that you can call me your boyfriend? I'm sure that the girl was not going to be very happy with that. For the boy. Love has nothing to do with minimum. The opposite. Love wants to give everything, because that complete surrender, that complete self-giving is part of love. And when we come to understand that love has given himself completely to us in Christ, that he is giving himself completely to us in the Eucharist every day, we cannot be dealing with God with minimums. With self-giving, complete self-giving, the only possible answer is a complete self-giving. May our Blessed Mother help us to understand and to live this. May the contemplation of this love help us and move us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength.